My next guest is one of those people, Janie Smith, joining me now. Janie's written a couple of books, Creating Competitive Advantage and Relevant Selling. Janie, good morning. Thanks for being on with me this morning. How you been?
I've been fine. Thanks, Bob, and yourself?
Fantastic. You know, couldn't complain. And if I did, nobody would care anyway. So let's talk about creating competitive advantage, because I think there's a lot of us out there that have products or have goods or have our, you know, there's a lot of things that are similar with what people are selling, but how do you make your thing stand out more so than, you know, your competitor or the person that's sitting in the cubicle next to you? How do you make yourself stand out, becoming that fierce competitor?
Yeah, you know, this is a mystery to so many businesses, and it absolutely blows my mind that so few businesses get their arms around their own differentiators. People are so busy using cliched language. You know, you should buy from us because we're customer-centric or we have good quality. And it's so what? Everybody expects that. But if you want to really get people, get very specific about the deliverables. In other words, good customer service, customer-centric cliches. Nobody believes it until you break it down. Break it down. What are the things that your customers want? On-time delivery, response to complaints, very specific services they want. So do you measure internally how well you are doing and delivering the things they value? You know, so many companies, we go in, every company practically has the published value proposition. And I have to sneer at it most of the time because it's internally authored. What I mean by that is they get together and they say, oh, well, here's what we think we're good at. What you're good at may not be what the customer values. And so that alignment is what is leaving money on the table for most businesses. They neglect to find out what the customer actually values.
You know, I look at a couple of businesses that were huge in their heyday, and they're slowly dying off. I look at Kmart, for example. We have one here that's closing. And is part of the reason that a big, at one time successful business can close their doors is because they haven't changed, they haven't pointed out their competitive advantage?
They haven't pointed it out, nor have they delivered it. So if you take Kmart, you know, if any of your listeners, and I know I have been to Kmart, Target, you know, all of those stores from time to time. And so let's talk about service. If you go to Kmart, at least mine locally, there's never enough lines open. They're slow as molasses. They don't have a lot of training around the people at the cash register. At least that's what it feels like. In many cases. So the thing I value when I'm shopping is my time. And so some people go there and all they care about is price, which is okay. And if you care about price, can I get the same thing in Walmart or BJ's or Costco much quicker or slower? So my only point is, what do people value? If they value low price and they're willing to stand in line endlessly, then fine, you've got that demographic. But if you want the next demographic, the people for whom time matters a little bit more than money, not a lot of money, but a little bit more. You know, I'm price sensitive, but I really want to get out of there fast. Then you got to be able to deliver what they want. I don't know that Kmart spent a lot of time and effort. I certainly don't know their training programs. I can only tell you as I experienced it. You know, on the other hand, I don't know what grocery stores you have out there, but here we have one called Publix. And I'll tell you what, they open up a new cash register line every time more than two or three people are in line. Mm-hmm. That's service, and that's the kind of thing that meets the customer's need.
You know, we've got Festival Foods here that'll do that. We've also got Quick Trip, which is the gas station chain that's based out of La Crosse. That'll do the same thing. If there's more than a couple of people in line, they'll open up another register, which to me is fantastic. I mean, because our time is valuable. Our time is one of those resources that we can never get back.
Oh, let me give you a wonderful example of that. You know, I talk to a lot of businesses as a keynote speaker, and, you know, I'll say to people, they'll say to me, you don't understand, Janie. You know, when you sell a commodity, it's all about price. But then I ask them this question. I ask people, have you ever been to Orlando to Disney? Of course, most of the room will raise their hand. And then I'll say, you have a rental car, you're returning the rental car to Orlando Airport, and you got to fill it up with gas on the way in on the right side. you have a gas station that's going to charge you $5.85 for gas. Directly across the street, it's $2.25. However, you can't get there without driving 2 miles down a median and turning around to get to it. So now you have a choice, $5.85 for gas, or $10.95 for Hertz to fill it up, whatever it is. What are you going to do? Are you going to drive all the way down and around for the cheaper gas? And most people will say, no, I'm going to pay the $5.85. It's a commodity. What did we just pay for? Time and convenience. You can get more money even on a commodity, and that's just a simple example, but we have proved it again and again with our clients. Commodities can charge more when they're very clear about what their customers value. They measure them, they deliver them, and they tout their excellent measurements around that which the customer values. Simple formula. You'd be surprised how few businesses do that. We run into it all the time. In fact, we just did a study and we have statistics that prove that 95% of businesses in our sample of 300 companies, 95% did not know what their customers value, and 87% do not measure the top three or four attributes most valued by their customers. Well, see what I mean by how can you possibly have a value proposition?
Right. Well, I was going to say, how do we come up with our unique value proposition, or how do we come up with our, you know, what differentiates us from, you know, from the radio station that's in, you know, in that studio right there, or the one that's right down the street, or, you know what I mean? How do you do that?
I could tell you that if I saw your research. So let me just tell you, the first thing you do is you find out, and maybe you have some research internally there. At any time, I'd be happy to review it for you, Bob, if you do, and tell you how to do that. But what are the two or three things your listeners value most from your programming, and do you deliver it consistently? In other words, you know, if interviews with business people like myself are highly valued, how many do you do a week, and does it meet the needs? Are the kinds of interviews you do what they're looking for, and what else are they looking for in the programming? So that's the first thing. And then also, you know, if there's some shows, and I have, of course, the call-in hours, how important is that? Where does it rank? Some listeners find them not so enjoyable. Some love them. Mm-hmm. So what I always say is every business has to find out how they rank. You're going to have listeners who value all of those things, but you want to find out what the preponderance, what most of them value. And when you find out what most of them value, 95% value ABC, then we deliver ABC.
Janie Smith joining us this morning here on today's Talk 1490. So I want to know, Janie, with the way the market is changing, and we talked about Kmart and how that's kind of, you know, crumbling in around itself, and then you look at something like an Amazon where it's you can buy anything and everything there, and then you look at some of the other stores. We have Shopko up here, which is similar to I would say maybe a smaller Target, or, you know, a Walmart, where they kind of have a little bit of everything. And my wife noticed the other day that they started selling alcohol at, you know, at Shopko. And we had conversations saying, well, stores nowadays, to be successful, you have to be everything to everybody. I mean, do you find that to be true in business?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that. You know, Amazon is certainly everything to everybody. And they are, of course, putting brick and mortar out of business all over the country. I think that there's still room for niche players. I think there are still room for people who specialize in something. I want to go touch it and feel it before I buy it. So there's still some room for certain industries for that. I haven't done research on it to tell you which ones would bring them in, but I will tell you this is an interesting one. A few years ago, we did some work with a specialty food store. And they were thinking about offering online ordering. And they were getting ready to build their website for that. And we did the research, and they found out their customers didn't really want that because it was specialty food. You know, if I'm going to spend more for my meat and produce, I want to go pick it out myself. I don't want some guy throwing it in a bag and delivering it to my house. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of place where brick and mortar is going to be able to last. At least I think so. Now, Amazon, of course, is getting into the food space, too, and grocery stores are panicking. But I do think there's still room for that because most of us want to go pick out our own peaches and apples
right. And
not trust somebody else to do it.
Yeah, and there, you know, it's funny. Every time that we talk, you bring up more things and you make me think even more. And I'm guessing businesses are listening to our conversation now thinking, hey, I would like to, I get paid to talk. I would like to know how to make this work or that work, or how do I, you know, how do I end up getting the competitive advantage, or how do I know what relevant selling is, or how do I, you know, how do I reach the right customer for my widget that I'm selling? You probably have answers. How do we find those answers, Janie?
Well, you know, what we do for all of our clients is we do double-blind market research, meaning we go out and research both customers of our clients and their prospects, people who are not buying from them, to find out what they value. And then we can start building our message around that. So that's the first thing. You can't guess what people value. You've got to do some measure of research. In my second book, Relevant Selling, Chapter 9, lays out the ways to do that. Hello?
Yep, I'm here.
Bob, did I... Oh, I thought I lost you. I heard a loud noise in the phone there. Chapter 9, you can find out the new, the easy ways, the inexpensive ways, and then Chapter 10 talks about what I'm talking about, the gold standard, which is how to do double-blind market research and test your customers and prospects to find out what they value. We found that 70% of the time, customers buy for different reasons than prospects, and many companies use the same message. You've got to use a different message if you're trying to lure in new customers,
right,
rather than get resell to existing customers. That's 75% of the time the research shows that.
But don't you, I mean, you want to hold on to your existing customers and then add to that customer base rather than constantly seeking out new people too, don't you? You want to take care of the people you have and then grow your base as well. So you want to do both.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we just heard from the CEO who hired us for a new company that he's running, and we didn't even know the results. He said, oh, yeah, when I used you a couple of years ago, you increased our market share from 45 to 65% in about 12 months. We didn't even know that result. We just heard that from him recently. So it does increase your market share. It helps you close sales quicker. You arm salespeople. You give your salespeople some real ammunition. You don't leave them out there with cliche after cliche. Mm-hmm. You know, we build relationships. That's the one I love to diss. You know, everybody says, well, we build relationships. So does everybody else, and that's an expectation. So, you know, you gotta get past the cliches and the expectations, and what do you do to excel? And there are so many opportunities. We find at least 50 potential differentiators in every company we work for, and most of them are taking it for granted. They
right.
don't see their own good stuff, and we go in and we can just turn over rocks and find all kinds of good stuff they're not talking about.
Well, I'm guessing a lot of people don't see too much further than their nose in a lot of things. It's like, hey, we're good at this. Well, then you got to tell people that you're good at this. And you mentioned the whole, you know, we're good at communications or whatever. Well, what if you just came in and said, you know, we value relationships? What if somebody just came out and said, well, be honest, well, we like relationships, we value other things, we value your dollar.
Well, that we see that all the time. You know, like, here's a good example. When we test, people want to test post-sales support. You know, the sales guy comes back and says, how's everything going?
Right.
And the sales people think, oh, that's really important. Well, when we test it, more often than not, it's not rated high. So it's a perception, because it has to do with our ego. We want to believe we're doing something good, building that relationship post-sale. But fact is, in many, many instances, it's not rated particularly high. I'm saying it's not important, but it's not as important as many, many other things that you could have and be talking about to differentiate.
Is there one value that tends to be across the board with every different type of client that you have? Like, this value is,
well,
I'm saying this one hitting consistently?
Yeah, there are a couple that we've been seeing lately, and consistently, I'd say trending. Being on time with your service or product is very important. Ability to respond to issues and problems quickly is another one we see very commonly at the top of the list. And then, depending on the business, if it's manufacturing, distribution, accuracy is very important. It can be accuracy of order, accuracy of invoice, accuracy of documentation. You know, people don't want to spend time. We talked about, you know, you can pay for time even if you're selling a commodity. We live in different times now. Everybody's going at mock speed. We don't have time to breathe, it seems. And so time is so important. And so people want to know that a business can not eat up their time with errors.
So basically following through on the stuff that you say you're going to do is kind of what I hear out of all that stuff. Janie, how do we find out more information about the stuff we've been talking about?
Well, the two books are Creating Competitive Advantage and Relevant Selling. They're both on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. And my website, of course, Smart Advantage, S-M-A-R-T, Advantage, Smart Advantage, all one word, .com. Some good information there and some YouTube videos help people understand a little bit better what we're talking about today.
Very good. Janie, have a great weekend. Thanks a lot for joining me again this morning. I appreciate it.